You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, you didn't even want to wait for it to drop today, huh?
No, I just went for it.
It's a Friday. It's beautiful outside. Owen made a decision that is impactful.
Change history.
For his life.
I think it's going to be awkward in January if United sucks and he's like, I can't do this anymore.
No. Yeah, because, hang on. If the Buffalo Sabres haven't done that to Owen, I don't think that Manchester United is going to do that to him either, though.
I don't know. I mean, there's something of like growing up with a team, being younger and picking them, and then picking them in your 20s and watching them be bad immediately and going, I can make a different decision.
No.
I'm not married to this.
No.
You're married after like 5 years. I think after 5 years of being a fan, you're locked in.
I feel like if you're married, you're married right away when you're married.
Well, it's actual marriage. Like in terms of sports teams. In terms of sports teams, 5 years, you got to lock in, right?
I mean, I don't know, like, it's, man. A thing. I don't know.
I think 5 years, you're in.
Yeah.
You got room here. You got room.
No. I got time.
Stick with it. Follow your heart, Owen. Don't listen to West Ham over
Follow your heart, and so when they're bad in January, you flip over to somebody else. It's fine.
Like Everton.
You know.
Not Everton.
I'm gonna stick by my guns here on United. I'm committed.
I'm not going nowhere.
I also don't want to be, you know, disowned by my father.
No, that's fair. This did feel a little bit like LeBron surprising everyone and like choosing Charlotte, though.
Right. Yeah. No, I acknowledge that I may have made a mistake in terms of my fan happiness, but
that's okay.
I think Mandola got me with his you're gonna go one day and you're gonna wish you went and you guys were both fans of United together.
That's fair. And that's how you get to
that. That's how you, especially me. You guys know me. I'm a softie.
I know. It's all right.
Hey, man, some people know where it goes for different people.
Exactly.
Sentimentality is a thing.
He's known me since I was like a concept, so.
So it's kind of important.
Exactly.
His opinion is kind of important. Congratulations on that. You should enjoy
you.
It. They play Arsenal right away, so it'll be a big game.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun.
Owen Parker there with his decision. Man United, very exciting. I have followed the Premier League for a while, but that's my thing. Is when I pick a team, I try to lock in a little bit.
Yeah, no, you're the one saying, no, he can jump ships.
He can jump ships.
No.
You got 5 years.
No.
But I also, I don't, I just picked my team based off of, I watched the World Cup and I had a YouTuber that I was watching and he was a West Ham fan. I'm like, all right, well, there we go. And that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's why it's fast and loose for you. There's real sentimentality
there. There is sentimentality there. We'll see how long it sticks. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Bills do have their joint practice today in Chicago in preparation for Sunday's game. It'll be Sunday night as well. Practice is expected to get going at around 11:30. We'll talk to Sal Capaccio at 10:30, and we do hope to also carry Bills head coach Sean McDermott at 11 a.m. He'll be talking with the media before practice today. I hope we get some starter news who's playing on Sunday. I don't anticipate we'll get the same level of starters. I think there's a good chance even if Deion Dawkins is a little bit healthier after his back flare-up, I imagine he won't be playing. If that's true, I don't imagine Josh Allen will be playing.
I'd imagine it's no.
But I don't want to say it definitively because they could throw us for the loop. I don't imagine they will. But I for the second preseason game, look, there were some takeaways from week number one. I've mentioned it a lot. Derek, you've mentioned it a lot. There were splash moments from individual performances. It was not a whole team performance, but after the game, McDermott did speak and said they really don't game plan up for it. You know, from 1 to 10, he was like 0 to 1 in terms of like actual game plan in preseason. And that's fine. I have zero issues with that. I don't really want them to be game planning for the Giants or Chicago or Tampa. I'd much rather them be caring about what are we going to do week one against Baltimore. But I walked away pretty happy with a lot of performances. Some I'd like to see more from, namely guys like Landon Jackson, or even just seeing some of the other receivers having a good day, not named Tyrell Shavers, or like one big play from KJ Hamler.
I'd still actually like to see more from, oddly enough, the defensive tackles. They made a couple splash plays, but hey, give me more.
Yeah, 51 passing attempts and no sacks. You want to see a play get finished, what have you.
Well, I also want to see string them together for a couple games.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the feeling around them is pretty good. This is a team, we talked about it yesterday. The Bears took a lot of sacks last year. Caleb Williams in particular, of course, took a lot of sacks last year. They did revamp their offensive line. I am genuinely excited to see their starters play, namely Caleb Williams. He did not play in their first game against Miami. I am really into Ben Johnson as a coach and what he can do for that team. He has been the hot name for 2 years. He's finally got his head coaching opportunity. We'll see what happens there. Also on the injury report, Cole Bishop finally kind of getting, you know, hopefully back and rolling here. We'll be able to, you know, be able to string some practices together. We'll see. The way McDermott talked about him earlier this week did not fill me with a lot of positive vibes on where they're at with safety. They did not do a ton at that position. They very much trusted, and understandably so, that their second-round pick in his sophomore campaign would be much better. And instead, he's missed, I think, almost two equal time that he did last year in terms of training camp. We'll see, but that's also I don't need to see Cole Bishop play. Don't get me wrong. Like, if they don't play the starters and Bishop's not out there, a part of me will actually be like, good. I want him to stay healthy. Another part of me, though, is sitting here going, I mean, I need to feel anything good about what they're doing at safety right now. I like the additions at defensive tackle. I like what they've done at corner. We'll see about Harrison and his health. The linebackers seem really good. Safety is my one spot where I just do not know if they've done enough. Even if they've done enough, is the guy, you know, worth it? Is he going to be good enough with Cole Bishop? That's sort of the one spot now. After everything that they've done, that I'm still left with massive question marks. The defensive line, yes, is question marks, but I think they've added enough to at least make me wait. I don't know if the true is same with safety.
And safety is kind of the problematic one because of the fact that you've seen what this defense can do when they had the pair of safeties, mm-hmm. Hyde and Poyer. And even when Hyde goes down, Poyer does enough. He's got one last good season with being the captain of the back end. But then obviously, you know, the same fate lies within the Buffalo Bills. But the defense still plays well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when you have neither of them, even when they were on some sort of a decline, it's not the same. It hasn't been the same. And there's an availability problem with both of them in Rapp and Bishop to where you do have to expect that DeMar Hamlin's going to start some games. How many is going to be the question? And that is a part that I know is going to trouble enough Bills fans out there. He's a replacement-level player. You kind of want to only be able to start him a couple of games in a season, and that be pretty much it. And yet, it also seems like the free agent additions that they try to bring in for, like, safety depth, or, like, maybe this person can pull a spot start, no.
Yeah, you're all of a sudden looking Mike at guys Edwards like Derek was, Forrest, Mike yeah. Edwards from
Mike
last
Edwards
year.
Last year was supposed to be that kind of guy, and nope, not even close. He's even released mid-season. And Derek Forrest, I have not heard much of anything from.
No, and he was somebody – this is kind of true for a lot of these, like, you know, I guess – What do you want to get? Analytical darling. I don't want to necessarily say he was Forrest, but he was exciting enough to get interested in. But yeah, haven't heard anything from him. Mike Edwards at this time last year was considered to be the presumptive starting safety. That was the expectation.
But he was also hurt during the preseason.
But he was hurt, and they couldn't ever get it going. Jordan Hancock. I mean, is that going to be the thing? Is just based on necessity, he's going to probably have to play safety. It doesn't fill you with a lot of good feelings on where they're at there. And for me, this is where I sit. The offense is going to probably score points. Joe Brady's going to be a head coach, I believe, this time next year, running his own training camp. For me, it is the defense. That is what's been holding you back in these last few playoff games. You can argue it's coaching, and I really won't push back on it. There have been questionable decisions by McDermott. I don't disagree on that. But for me, it's been the defense as a whole. They have not gotten the big plays from a lot of their key contributors, or they've been injured. Whether it be A.J. Klein has to be the guy that's covering Travis Kelce,
right.
Trey White, Von Miller being out for the playoffs after getting hurt on consecutive Thanksgivings. They've got to have some of these guys step up. I've mentioned that a lot. Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford. Two of those three have to take another step forward into being arguably all-pro level guys and being it. All three could absolutely do it, but I think two of the three have to.
It's not could. All three of them should.
They need to
because they've been recognized and tapped on the shoulder with extensions, mm-hmm. all three of them. You are the new core of the defense. Get it done because we have recognized that you are the future. You are the present. You are, at least for mm-hmm. the next couple of years, the group that we need to win with. It is get it done. There's not going to be much room for excuses for those three players, especially because you got the payday. You've gotten the recognition that you are a key piece. You have to do it. And fair or unfair, that's the reality.
I jump around with that too, like the fair, the unfair, like even with Bishop, the whole thing. I think I've gotten to a point now in this offseason, and maybe it's because the offseason's gone on too long. I have no idea. Welcome to being on a good team. The expectations are going to be ridiculously high. The Bills are very efficient. You need to match that. And I think that's where you get kind of the more aggressive tone from McDermott earlier this week is, yeah, like he needs Bishop and Rapp on the field. They need to be on the field. They have to be healthy. They have to be taking care of themselves, what have you. I mentioned that with Bishop, whether it's fair or unfair, he needs to be the starting safety day one. I mentioned that a lot of this offseason. And yeah, you're right. You got a contract extensions. Brandon Bean spoke on this because they also believe they're all ascending players. Now you need to be the linchpins. You need to be the core. This is their second group under Josh Allen, McDermott, and Bean that they're going to run with. The first
the
one
portion of the window.
Yeah, the first window didn't get it done. The first window also on offense was more reliant on throwing the ball and looking for really fancy stats and Stephon Diggs leading, you know, being a top five receiver in fantasy, what have you. They're still up there in points, don't get me wrong, but they've gone more to, hey, we're not going to really have a lot of explosive plays. We're going to be incredibly efficient. We're not going to take a lot of sacks, right? We're going to stay on message. We're going to stay on script. But the defense, they've had windows. They've picked up injuries. I'm not denying that. But it has become, for me as well, I think it's fine to throw around Super Bowl or bust. I think we have entered that period where, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the regular season. I've enjoyed this entire ride. But I've mentioned it to you off air, and I mentioned it last night at the nightcap as well. Of just, I think that's fine to throw that around, though, now. Allen's going to be 29. This is year, what, 9 of McDermott and Bean?
Yep.
I think that is completely justifiable. And I'm not going to push back on any fan saying it's Super Bowl or bust. At some point, the good vibes are just... good vibes. You need to get it done. It's kind of embarrassing at this point.
I wouldn't say embarrassing. I will say.
The Bills and Ravens both, their biggest thing is, well, we've done so well, we've just never made a Super Bowl under this window. We're so amazing, we just haven't made a Super Bowl.
You've got to get it done. I wouldn't say it's embarrassing, though. It is something of, you are dealing with a little bit of a voodoo-ish sort of team here with the Chiefs at this point. And it would be embarrassing if other teams in the conference have won a Super Bowl in this run. Say that Cincinnati wins one. Yeah, that hurts the other two's credibility at that point, right? I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one team in this entire run has made it that isn't the Kansas City Chiefs in this recent stretch. The stretch where Allen and Jackson have ascended to this next level.
Right, where they're regularly winning MVPs.
So I would not say it's embarrassing in that sense. It is almost kind of unanswerable why you haven't gotten it done.
Well, because I think I know we joke around with like the voodoo magic that the Chiefs have, what have you. It is also,
they have an elite coaching staff, though.
Well, they have an elite coaching staff. Better than any of them, though. On that point, though, the Ravens. Why did you stop running the ball 2 years ago? Why did you decide against the Chiefs, we're going to throw the ball over the yard?
Yeah.
And we're going to go away from everything we've done before. The Bills have brought up injuries, but yeah, 13 seconds. The game is done. You've won it.
Until you didn't.
Just wrap this up. And they don't. And so, like, that's where for me is, and they are the dynasty of the 2020s. That is true. But dynasties only get created because other teams fail.
It could be a little bit of both. You are making mental mistakes.
It is a bit of both, yes.
You are making mental mistakes against the best opponent. And that has happened with the Patriots how many times? How many times have we seen that? Like, teams just wait. They wait for you to make your mistake, and then they crush you.
Right.
And it seems like the Chiefs kind of have that a little bit there, too. But, I'm not going with the word embarrassing, though, because other teams will have had to have succeeded for you to really kind of be an embarrassment. And, again, on the fair or not fair part, if either Buffalo or Baltimore make it into a Super Bowl, then you start really looking at the other one, going, okay, you're the one that has been left behind. Cincinnati popped through.
Yeah.
Your contemporaries popped through. Why haven't you? What's wrong with you? It's now a you problem, and it takes one of them to break through to turn on the other. The other portion of this, though, is I don't truly think that this is some different. It's not like the 2022 team where it was bring everyone back together, one last ride, same with 23. Like, the expectations are already there and you're trying to win it one last ride with this group, right? It's not that. It is the identification of a new group. It is the shoulder tap going, it's your time. Get it done. We've recognized you all now as the new core. You took a quote-unquote rebuilding or retooling season and casually walked to 13 wins and the two seed. Go run that back. Be that team again. And being that team again also can mean breaking through. It does not mean that you are guaranteed to be doomed against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs again. It does not mean that. It never guarantees anything. But be that team again. Be in position. Put yourself in position. Why? Because they can. And they probably will. Be that team again. I don't think there's anything that I'd say is bad about being the Buffalo Bills right now.
No, I mean, keep making the dance. Keep giving yourself chances.
Keep giving yourself the best chance.
For me, though, it has been like we are getting long in the tooth here. Like, we have hit a point now where Mike Greenberg on Get Up is talking about how Allen is the best to have never gotten there. Not even just the best to have not won one, to have gotten there. And so, and even on that point, too, we brought up Cincinnati. Like, the Bengals get a little bit of leeway here just because they made it. I do wonder, though, let's say Bills or Ravens, even last year, Bills win the AFC Championship, they go to the Super Bowl, they lose to the Eagles. The conversation is still probably the same. It ultimately probably didn't change because you still haven't won one. You are still sitting there waiting for it to happen. You made it, you got a step further, you did beat the Chiefs, but you still haven't gotten there.
Why do you think I mentioned that the Bengals needed to win it to make it look worse?
Right, and so now it's like they get a little bit of a leeway, but it is still this gigantic you know, Chiefs kind of sucking out the oxygen. I think a lot for me though, a lot of it has become the players the Bills identify have to become stars. They and I mentioned a lot like the named players, the guys that, you know, are on the NFL top 100 list. Look, is it a popularity contest? Yes, it's a popularity contest of good players. And that's the thing is, you know, Rousseau has to, you know, take the next step of not just having good, you know, underlying numbers and good just outright numbers to go along with that. Benford, you can't be an unheralded cornerback anymore. On a 13-win team, that's simply incredible that he's unheralded. But they also had one of the least effective pass defenses last year right. when it didn't come to turnovers.
And the other part of this is about getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that two or three of them have to take that, like probably need to take that step. No, they all three have to. They've mm-hmm. been recognized by the team internally. And that part I will agree with you on is, but that's the thing about identifying a new core. It's figuring it out. Now, you just keep taking your runs at it. And as long as you have Josh Allen, you're going to keep taking runs at it. You have to identify the new core and move forward with them. And now you also have to wonder, you got to start looking at the players that might be holding them back.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a question that we won't know until the regular season begins again. Can they do it? Absolutely. I still think that. They're a good enough team. They're a good enough roster. And hell, I'll even say it. McDermott's a good enough coach.
I think that's the right way to put it.
He's learned from the mistakes of the past at this point. He's being a better delegator than he was in the past. And, oh, man, I still, like, Leslie Frazier.
I think that is the right way to put it with McDermott, though. He is a good enough coach. I'm not the biggest fan of Mike McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni just won a Super Bowl. There are good enough coaches, I think, to do that. We'll see if he is. I believe he is. I also will tell you, too, I've kind of come away from the firing him necessarily because I think it is too big of a risk now at this point. I think if you were going to do it, to be fair, I think the Bills had to have had a disastrous season with missing the playoffs kind of deal.
2 years ago was probably the time.
And now I think, and some fans may not like this, but at least for me, I think you're kind of locked in for a while.
And because 2 years ago it would have been, you missed the playoffs with a healthy Josh Allen. What the hell is wrong with you guys? Mm-hmm. Oh, and the offense coordinator got fired.
Yeah.
Like, if they missed the playoffs that year, we're probably talking about maybe mm-hmm. we need to look at a new head coach.
And that's fine, yeah.
And that's perfectly fine because, again, when you fire coordinators, the target ends up on your back, which is something that we were saying a couple years ago. But they turn it around. They casually become the same team that they've always been. But that doesn't guarantee doom at the end of it all. They do need to break through. That is something that does need to happen. I'm also of the point of they're not destined to fail just because they have a Kansas City problem.
No, and especially because they've gotten close. They're
the team that constantly puts fear into the Chiefs.
Yeah, while it's painful.
It is painful.
It'd be one thing if you were the Colts and the Patriots from years ago where it just felt like, guys, why are we even showing up? Like, they're killing us every time. And they go to Foxborough and they're just beat up. And eventually even the Colts got through.
Right.
And now they did change a coach because Manning missed the playoffs early in his career. I think 01 is the season that he missed the playoffs. But they eventually, you know, go to where they're at and they're fine. But it took a while. And then once they broke through, they really broke through. Manning, I think, in the second half of his career has a winning playoff record against Brady, or at least really darn close. 803-0550, the number two call. Sal Capaccio coming up at 10:30 for more on today's joint practice. Let's get connected to our fans, though. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Aziz is first up today. Aziz, how are we doing this morning?
How's it going, guys? Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yep, yeah, what you got?
Yeah. I think, like, you know, I think our personnel is, like, really good this year. Like, I feel like Deion Walker is, like, a first-round talent. You know, I think, like, we kind of, like, learned from the Eagles. You know, their massive defensive front is, like, you know, like, a really good way to beat the Chiefs. But I think, like, the most important thing this year is us getting the number one seed. You know, I was watching the Hard Knocks, and even Thurman Thomas mentioned it, like, Like, if we get the number one seed and, you know, per se, we have to face the Chiefs at some point in time in the playoffs, like, our chances of beating them, I feel like, are, like, exponentially better. You know, like, for whatever reason, when we play them in Buffalo, you know, we usually smack them. But whenever we have to go to Arrowhead, especially in the playoffs, like, it gives us a fit.
Yeah, Aziz, thanks for the call. The one seed, I think, for many of us has been, it's the one thing they haven't done yet in this the quote-unquote one thing they haven't tried yet.
It's the one outcome that they haven't been able to go through yet.
Mm-hmm.
They've had the higher seeds. They've been a lower seed even.
Yep.
But typically, they are just not the one seed. And the one seed, though, has had its fallacies as of late, though,
right,
too.
It's not perfect. Baltimore's had it twice.
Tennessee had it.
Mm-hmm. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, and I do think that there is a little bit of a I don't want to say a complete fallacy of it, but it's different now
mm-hmm.
than it was, which is most teams are going to have to go through the whole thing. Most one seeds are not making it start to finish at this point anymore either.
No, but I can understand, and I'm part of this group too, that pushes for the one seed so much, mainly because the Bills have dealt with injuries in the playoffs. Some of them have been picked up in the wild card round. And along with that, being the one seed, you face the worst remaining team. That could be the AFC South winner. That could be a random wild card winner, what have you. It probably won't be the Chiefs or maybe even Baltimore in the division round. There's a good chance it's a team like Houston or Jacksonville. That has helped the Chiefs, you know, go back to back to back to back to back for these AFC championships. Not always. It's not a perfect system. But when you get to play the worst remaining team in the playoffs and you didn't even get to play in the wild card round, that really helps. When you just have to win one game to then host the AFC championship, there's a bonus to that.
It helps until it doesn't.
Yep.
And the one team that keeps proving that wrong is the same team that's been everyone's bleeping problem this whole time.
803-0550, the number two call. Bills practice coming up at 11:30. At 11, we're expecting to hear Sean McDermott speak with the media. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sal Capaccio will join us from Chicago. We'll get more on today's joint practice. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Everyone, good morning. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It is gorgeous out here at our Amherst studios. I hope it is gorgeous as well where we go next. To the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio joins us from Chicago and Hallis Hall. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Doing great, actually. It's beautiful out here. It's already pretty hot. And yeah, I am standing just off the practice field here at Hallis Hall. And it is not in Chicago, and I got it's Forest. I had this before, and now I'm getting mad. Now I can't remember exactly the town we're in here, but it's not in Chicago itself. It's just outside the city of Chicago. Anyway, that being said, there are two big practice fields here, both facing the same way, a little bit different than in Buffalo, where you have the practice field, one going one way and one kind of the perpendicular to it. You have seating around here. This is a... It's kind of a little bit like St. John Fisher in the regard that they have their own seating, not the huge bleachers and not a football stadium. I believe this is where they practice normally. It is not at Soldier Field, like I said, but we're getting ready for Sean McDermott to speak here at the top of the hour. He'll give us a media briefing on who's expected to be out there today, who isn't, a normal practice briefing. And then the two teams will hit the field in just about an hour from now.
And do we know, like, any kind of practice detail is going to be, like, a two-hour practice? I just, because for me, the most I find on these joint practices is going on Twitter and finding out the Dolphins played bad against blank team or what have you. Like, are they typically normal practices?
Yeah, so everybody's different how they structure it. You know, it really depends on what each team wants to get done, and you get together with these coaching staffs, get together, and they say, okay, here's what we want to accomplish, here's each period we want to run, what we want to do. So I would assume... Generally, what you do is it looks like a normal practice like you would see at St. John Fisher. The only difference is you have one team wearing Bills colors, one team wearing Bears colors. You know what I mean? So you'll get – excuse me. You might get on one field the Bills offense going against the Bears defense. And on the other field, you might get the Bears offense going against the Bills defense. And you might have the first team and unit, and then you have the second team. Then they might also have a third down period, which is just third down. They might have a red zone period, a goal line period. And, of course, you're going to have your one-on-ones. I like watching those in settings like this. You really see some competitive nature come out in those things, like DBs against wide receivers, right? Offensive linemen against pass rushers. I'm guessing you'll have a lot of that today. As far as length, yeah, probably about 2 hours, a little more than that. I think that's a normal practice time for a lot of regular practices. So I don't think it looks much different than a regular football practice, if you will, Zach. I just think the only difference is you have, you know, 180 guys instead of 90 in two different teams.
Right, yeah.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Western Hotline from Chicago. Sal, obviously this preseason game a couple days away. Sean McDermott typically is taking his time like he normally would with who might be playing in this game if the starters are going to go. I would imagine, though, if Deion Dawkins is not cleared to play, I would imagine that Josh Allen once again will sit out of a preseason game here.
I really don't know. Maybe not. We will not. I don't want to speculate on that, to be honest with you, Derek. I don't think that's fair to speculate, because at some point, what if Deion Dawkins can't play in a game? You know, and you have to have Ryan Vandermark get reps with the first team. So I really don't know what the plan is here. We have not heard anything about Josh Allen playing on Sunday night. I mean, this is a great opportunity for Josh to get, obviously, reps with his first unit and his first team. And I think that's what you're going to see a lot of today, but we haven't heard anything about Sunday.
What we have heard, though, is the Bears are going to be playing their starters. Caleb Williams and that starting offense will be out there. So even if the starters are out there for defense, even if they're not, it's going to be a pretty good test, though, for the Bills' defensive players on Sunday night.
Sorry, guys. I was just grabbing something here for the media here. Can you repeat the question for me?
Yeah. It was we know that Ben Johnson said that the Bears' starters will be playing. So no matter who is out there for the Bills to start, it's going to be a pretty good test.
No doubt about it, and I agree. That is going to be a good test, both for the Bills' offense and defense. I'm looking at the Bills' defense going against a Ben Johnson offense and seeing how that looks. I think that'll be really cool, actually. That's a really good test for them, so no doubt about it. We know Caleb Williams is going to play Sunday, but I think today, again, for me, like I'll get more out of today, I think, just from a football standpoint, because we don't know what's going to happen Sunday night. Sure, that's exciting. It is also a nationally televised game Sunday night. It's on Fox. So that's, you know, cool for Bills fans and Bears fans. But here today, I think getting all this work with the starters, remember, the reason why today is so important to do, to give the Josh Allen and Caleb Williams all this work, you can't touch the quarterback like a normal practice setting, right? It's red jerseys. They can't do that. So, yeah, I think today is going to be really important for that.
Sal, you mentioned the defense there as well, and one player I was bringing up in the first segment here. I think a lot of the guys that signed their contract extensions, Beans talked about it, they need to be ascending players, and I look at three guys in particular, Bernard, Rousseau, and Benford, needing to make that jump. And they potentially, the Bills have, you know, named guys, name recognition guys on a lot of the levels of the defense. The one position group I think most of us are very nervous about is safety, and now with Cole Bishop, it seems like getting back to practice. I think for me at least, he's a name I'm really intrigued on what we hear from today and even potentially going into the weekend.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the fact that him, Terrell Bishop, and Taylor Rapp both practiced a couple days ago is really encouraging. You hope that they got through that practice okay, they're healthy, they could both be on the field for this particular, you know, practice today against the Bears. And I agree that you really need to see Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp on the field at the same time. Time on task together, very, very important for the Buffalo Bills, very important. Sean McDermott stresses that all the time. I think today's the day that you could see a little bit of that, hopefully a lot of that, and then we'll see what happens on Sunday night. And, you know, we don't know the plan with the starters yet on Sunday night, but if the starters are out there, and even if they're not, I think these guys need some time together, even if it's not the majority of starters, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys over the weekend here, the next few days, get plenty of looks together.
Yeah, that was going to be something I was going to ask you too, Sal. I was like, do you imagine those two, just because of how McDermott sounded earlier this week, will get some extra run just to develop that chemistry, that rapport, I think is what McDermott was talking about as you know, being that safety duo. But it sounds like, we're kind of in agreement there. All right, so, yeah, McDermott speaking at 11 a.m.,
yep.
So that should be good. We'll carry that live right here on WGR, and, of course, everyone can follow along for everything today because it's not a viewing practice, so everyone can follow along today on your Twitter account, at Sal Sports.
And, guys, I don't know the practice rules. I'm assuming they're the same for the Bills. It is a Bears hosting practice, but, you know, a lot of these rules around the league can vary a little bit as far as what you can and can't do, what you can and can't report and show. So we'll do our best to kind of navigate through that today. My assumption is, though, a lot of the stuff, you know, the proprietary stuff that we can't normally report, we won't be able to, but obviously we'll still give you as much coverage as possible and that's allowed here on, you know, WGR. And of course, people can follow me over at Sal Sports.
All right, fantastic. Sal, have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be checking in.
All right, guys, thanks.
Sal there on the West Her Hotline. And yeah, I agree with Sal there on the Bishop stuff. And Rap even. I not bringing him up, but they're both. Maybe they don't play the whole starting unit or even just stuff like today. The way McDermott sounded, like they've got to kind of speed this up. And that is even in itself a little bit of a worry because Bishop has dealt with injuries. This year was a quad, last year a shoulder. You kind of hope, like, all right, you're going to stay healthy, but we've got to ramp this up now. We'll see what happens. It's the one unit on the defense that I don't really have any good feelings about. And part of that, I don't want to make it sound like I have bad feelings. It's more I'm neutral because I legitimately don't know what they're getting in Bishop. We didn't see enough from him last year. He starts to really pick up game time at the end of last year. I wouldn't say it was particularly the best thing I've ever seen. Again, I didn't go into this offseason going, well, safety's all set. We just got to find his partner. It's not where we were at. I mean, Derek, we've talked about it almost endlessly. 2 weeks before the draft, we're all talking about Malachi Starks.
And not just talking about him, getting really giddy about the sight of him being mocked to the Bills.
Yeah, anytime anyone mocked him, we're like, well, you know what? I know they have a need at edge and D tackle, but...
That's a best player available kind of moment.
Right.
And again, curse upon you, Baltimore Ravens, for not seeing what that would have looked like, but... Also because I think they got a good player, more so than that.
That's very
Baltimore.
That's very Baltimore Ravens of, we'll just take the best guy available.
Yes.
I mean, they had a need at safety when they took Kyle Hamilton. It was not the biggest need in the world, but they took him just because
he's good.
He's a top 10 player in this draft, and he's available, what was he, like 15 or something like that, 16?
Right. And
they just took him.
They took him. So safety is going to be a position to watch, not just right now, but through the entirety of the regular season. Can the two of them in Rapp and Bishop stay relatively healthy and play games alongside each other, figure their stuff out, get the chemistry that they need? The other part of this is, what if it doesn't seem to work? Can you go and acquire a new safety to get into the system? What if Bishop looks lost out there? What if Rapp is continually taking injuries based on his physical style? It becomes, do you need to find an answer that's outside of the building right now? And I don't know if there is that much opportunity to do so, but I do know that there are surprises on cutdown days.
There are surprises on cutdown days. And I will say, it's unlikely that everything will go right for the Bills defense, right? Everyone that needs to take a step forward takes a step forward, and Bishop and Rapp are great. They're likely one of those is going to miss, not be a hit, what have you. Outside of, I think, like a guy like TJ Sanders needing to hit in terms of a rookie, Bishop being at least an extra base hit at safety, I think is the most important thing for the defense.
And it's another high asset that you need to make sure works for you.
Yep.
As a general manager, you want to make sure that your second-round picks are not necessarily being thrown away. And I don't really think there's a huge problem there, but that is the round that typically seems to see a lot of the variance for the Bills, and with Brandon Bean's draft record, is the second round is where you'll get players like a Cody Ford.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, before that, got Deion Dawkins.
And they just gave him an extension, James Cook.
James Cook. But before that,
the second round was kind of
there's
not a good place.
Boogie Basham, AJ Epinesa, like there have been a lot of different variations, and like I said, the variance in his second round picks have been a lot higher than in other rounds. Typically, his third and fourth rounds seem to be slam dunks. But you need those higher assets to have a little bit more of a conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
Is it being nitpicky on a general manager that has built a championship contender? Yeah. But you need your higher assets to be.
Yeah, that's where I don't know if it's totally nitpicky. I think it's just, yeah, dude, you've built a roster. It should be better. Should be better.
It's that he does make up ground.
He does, and that's absolutely right. He does make up ground with
that,
the
that's
picks.
Why I think it might be nitpicky, is because you get starters out of the fourth and fifth round routinely, and I'm like, okay, you know what?
I'll let him cook, but also, hey, like, this should be brought up.
The higher-end athletes that you're getting in the first two rounds maybe should be better.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. We did mention it there at 11 o'clock. Sean McDermott speaking with the media. We'll carry that live right here on WGR. So we'll take a quick timeout here to hopefully make that on time. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on a Friday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you today. Sal Capaccio just outside of Chicago for today's joint practice with the Bears. I do want to make one little correction to we've been talking about, you know, the draft classes and young guys having to make, you know, a bit of a come up. I don't know if we outright said it. I think we were kind of mentioning that Epenesa and Basham were in the same draft. They were not. Epenesa was in 2020, Basham in 2021. Both, though, were second-round picks.
Yeah, that's where the connection comes. It's the back-to-back second-round picks on defensive ends.
Yes, but a draft class apart. 803-0550, the number two call. We are going to hit another timeout here real quick as the Bills are already tweeting out the link for McDermott to be speaking here. We'll carry that live on WGR. We just want to be a little bit early. We'll be right back. We go now to Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott with the media.
Max and Cam Lewis. And then limited for practice will be T-Bass, Curtis Samuel, Shaq Thompson, Daquan Hardy, Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp, and Larry Okunjobi, and then Alec Anderson. So most of those guys, when we say limited, they'll be, you know, individual only. A couple of those guys, like the safeties, will get a few reps, like they did the other day. We'll see how it goes from there. So that's kind of their detail.
What is Cam Lewis?
So Okunjobi has a foot that is a part of an older injury before coming to the Bills. That's my understanding. And then Cam has a calf. Well, you know, like backs, it takes some time to figure out what it is, and then sometimes it takes a couple days to get it back in alignment or so. So I don't know all the details, but that's just generally speaking. We had a couple backs over the last couple of days.
Yeah. Any decision on Josh Allen for Sunday?
No. So, and then just as it relates to today and then play time overall, I would just tell you, we got to get through this practice, go back to the hotel, home, away from home, and go through the injury report and then reset the table for the game on Sunday night.
What are you hoping to accomplish here today? What, if you had specific goals in mind, what, give me a couple of details.
Well, I think about, you know, it's usually about this time of training camp where guys get tired or beating on each other, and sometimes with that, either A, fights break out or the intensity kind of dips a little bit. So it's a good time and place for us to go against another opponent, especially on the road. And in doing so, we come together a little bit more as a team, hang out a little bit more over the course of the trip. And then we can also see where we're at a little bit more as a team here.
The Bears obviously won't show all their cards, but how beneficial is it to face this kind of an offense with that kind of a quarterback, you know, for your defense?
Yeah, very talented team, very talented you know, with their skill players offensively, defense, they've been, you know, kind of stockpiling some of those players as well. So, again, this will be a good test for us, and we get a chance to see where we're at here as a football team.
Sean Shipina seems to follow these joint practices, so how did you address that with the team today?
Well, we talked about it a little bit, really nothing specific other than, you know, we're coming out here with a purpose, and I already mentioned what that purpose is. It's for us to grow a little bit closer as a team, and also for us to take another step on the field as a team. So, you know, it's a physical sport. It's going to be physical. From what I hear, it was rather physical against the Dolphins when they were out here, and so I would say that you know, we should probably expect the same.
What's your relationship? How much will the crispness or how good units look today impact your decisions on playing time for Sunday?
Yeah, I would say in some cases it may. In other cases, it probably won't. Not to give you, I'm not speaking in code, Chris. It's just where I'm at right now is we're probably going to have a few young players who, you know, maybe play well today and look good, but they need more time, need more reps, more experience. So it'll probably end up on a case-by-case, player-by-player basis in terms of how we evaluate the playtime.
What's your relationship with Coach Johnson?
Yeah, I know him a little bit. Certainly have a ton of respect for him and his offensive acumen, and he's had a lot of success. A little bit of a trailblazer in some of the things he does, so I respect him and his you know, his career. He's done a great job everywhere he's been, and now it's, you know, he's getting a chance to run an organization here, so looking forward to getting with him today and seeing how our teams compete.
With Tyler putting a little bit more on his plate, like, how do you feel like he's kind of making it through his injury, and what's kind of like the long-term outlook here as we kind of move closer to the
T-Bass? Yeah. He's moving in the right direction. We're trying to take it, no pun intended, but one step at a time, where he is stationary and just kicking from a stationary position, then getting one step and then two steps and then into his approach. So we're really just trying to be smart and make sure we don't have a setback and actually get him into a rhythm, with the goal of him kicking at Tampa at this point.
Curtis, and seeing him ramp up here.
Yeah, again, important piece. You know, he's been out really most of camp. So the urgency needs to be there for all these guys, and Curtis no different. You know, we need to see how he fits into our offense this year, and availability is important, as well as special teams. So when you're not, you know, wide receiver number one, that's true of everyone.
Physicality a couple times there in your answer. During camp, at one point, you said you wanted to see this team be a little more physical. How much of an emphasis is that today in particular?
You know, it's really about being consistent with what we talk about with our messaging, and they know where I stand on that overall, and where we need to get to as a football team to have an identity and to win in the trenches. But it's not just in the trenches. It's, you know, do your wide receivers block? Do they know who to block, and are they physical with their blocking, and can they sustain the blocks? You've heard me talk about before, do your corners tackle? You know, we're really here trying to, I guess, in my mind, get more crusty, you know, and we'll see if that happens today and if we take another step.
Any impressions on T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker so far? I know it's still early, but yeah. Any early impressions you're forming?
You see the ability. Now it's really looking for them to continue with their ability to develop the techniques, but then also now backing that up with consistency, consistent approach, consistent, you know, attitude, effort, those things, but also consistent performance.
When deciding for Josh in the preseason game, understanding it's a case-by-case basis, is there something you want to see from him today specifically that would make you feel good about him not playing, or like what the Josh decision specifically said since he sat out the last game?
Say that again.
Just like since he sat out the first preseason game, is there something specific you want to see from him today?
No, I mean, just continue to sharpen, you know, where he's at in his preseason journey. I think that's important. Certainly staying safe. You know, I'll be with Josh on the offensive field for that reason, so that I have the whistle. And then Ben will be on, you know, with his quarterback on the other field. So Josh has been in a good spot. You know, it's just his continual development this preseason, with making sure he feels good about where he's at, and with his receivers in particular, I think that's going to be big for us.
And really start to develop chemistry with Joshua Palmer with the more reps they've gotten.
Yeah, lately in particular, right, with Joshua pushing through a little bit the last couple of days when we were in Buffalo, and and so Joshua getting more and more comfortable with his role in our offense and what that really is and what that entails from a run standpoint, pass standpoint, and then, like I said, getting on the same page with Josh. You know, I thought Joshua looked good the other day, making a couple of key catches and some of the move the ball periods, and pushing through some of the soreness he was working through.
Sean,
hard to tell because I don't really think an identity's able to be formed in such a short amount of time. I would say that they, and probably because of our core players like Josh, they're already connected to a pretty good extent. That said, I'm looking forward to some other guys getting into that kind of nucleus a little bit, and that'll happen over time, right? So, but just overall, you know, it looks like we're doing some of the things that we've done. Now I'm looking for those things to exponentially take another step here.
Would you like to give Josh some preseason time this go around, or is that something you're still kind of weighing down?
Yeah, I would love to. If you could put him in a bubble, that would, if you could guarantee me that he wasn't going to get hurt. Yeah, I mean, for every player, you'd love to be able to say, hey, let's get out there. Let's play three good games, and we'll ramp you up each game, and so on and so forth. You know, it's just really hard to say that for everybody they're in the same situation, right? So in Josh's case, really using practice to see where he's at and how he feels. And I'm giving him some ownership as well, which I think is important, right? He knows by now what he needs in order to be ready. And then this other piece over here is his time with healthy receivers. I think that's probably kind of that next chapter of the book right now as it relates to Josh's preseason overall.
One of the Tyler Gray procedure.
Yeah. Still in the protocol. So I can't say much. You know, I saw him the other day, you know, but he smiled, looked like he was in a better spot a little bit, but he's still in the protocol. So.
Sean, we have it. Overall
team response. James Steele getting done, him being a part of this thing long term, knowing like how much you've talked about him being a leader.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, no, I feel like the players are happy for him. I mean, that's kind of the vibe of most locker rooms. You know, they pull for each other in that regard. I think our guys did a really good job of, you know, staying focused where they needed to stay and what they needed to stay focused on. But, you know, he's one of their teammates, so they're happy for him. I'm sure happy for his family also.
What does it mean for you to have that uncertainty of, you know, kind of the day-to-dayness of practice?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys know it's, you know, if you study hold-ins over the years, it's not good for teams, right, in terms of records and things. So the sooner we could get it done, the more satisfied I was going to be. Certainly understanding, you know, things take some time once in a while. But part of my job is to limit and eliminate distractions for our football team.
Brandon noted that he was a little worried that it would be a distraction, but he didn't think it ended up being. How did you feel like the team handled it from, like, the process?
Well, anytime somebody's out missing and there's a contract situation, a hold-in, I mean, that's going to be a distraction. So, what it ended up being, you know, four practices or something like that, and then probably an additional 2 days off or whatever. So, you know, but we move forward. Like I said, the players did a good job of keeping their focus where it needed to be, and same thing as the coaching staff and whatnot. So it's you know, behind us now, and we move forward.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott with the media. We did get some news from today, but we do have some spots we've got to hit here. We were not able to finish our commercial, so we'll do that now. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
Usually about this time of training camp where guys get tired or beating on each other, and sometimes with that, either A, fights break out or the intensity kind of dips a little bit. So it's a good time and place for us to go against another opponent, especially on the road. And in doing so, we come together a little bit more as a team, hang out a little bit more over the course of the trip, and then we can also see where we're at a little bit more as a team here.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott from just a few minutes ago as he met with the media over at Hallis Hall, just a little outside of Chicago, as the Bills get ready for their joint practice with the Chicago Bears, which is coming up in just about 20 minutes. We got some good news today.
We got a decent amount of good news. Also, tip of the cap, Josh, quick turnaround.
Right, love there we that. Go.
You love to see it.
A lot of stuff's
You'll
going on in the background.
It.
There we go.
You love to see it.
The hat's off. You can, like, he's... A lot going on. He's just wiping the sweat off his face. Five players out of practice today. Khalil Shakir, Tylan Grable, Cedric Van Pran Granger, Max Harrison, and Cam Lewis. You will note that list is far shorter than it has been in a long time. The Bills have been dealing with double-digit guys out of practice. Now today, just five. And at least for two of them, actually, no, three of them, excuse me, it's expected for them to be out for week to week. Harrison, Van Pran Granger, and Shakir. Grable, Cam Lewis could come back, really, it feels like at any time kind of deal.
Based on McDermott's comments on Grable,
agreed, yep.
It did seem like that screams questionable for Sunday,
yeah,
in a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
And not like you're not at doubtful at that point. He might play, he might not. And if you don't necessarily need him to rush back, you won't rush him back there. Cam Lewis, you know what? I love having zero safety depth.
Yeah. Well, on that, limited. It is both the starting safeties, Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp.
I love having zero safety depth.
Along with them, Tyler Bass, Curtis Samuel, Shaq Thompson, Daquan Hardy, Larry Ogunjobi, and Alec Anderson. Anderson is a good sign that he's limited. He's working his way back. Same with Tyler Bass and Curtis Samuel. Those are some good signs, at least on the injury front. I don't love that Bishop and Rapp are both limited. Do not get me wrong.
Shaq Thompson being up to limited is all. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. You're up to limited versus down to it.
Right.
And that's where things are kind of like a little more encouraging for like a Bass or an Anderson or Shaq Thompson. On the other side of that, Bishop and Rapp again down to limited.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel staying at limited. Daquan Hardy is going to fall behind in the competition.
Yeah.
At Def Corner. And I'm very intrigued with Hardy. I think he's going to be a fun little prospect to still keep your eyes on. But if you're going to fall behind just out of happenstance, and it's not your fault, but you're not going to get the reps that you need.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. We also got word on who's going to be starting for Sunday. And the word is we don't know. Josh Allen and the other starters, we don't know for sure if they'll be playing. McDermott did mention, and he's mentioned this earlier this week as well, that they wanted to go through the practice first, get back, as he called it, home away from home, the hotel, to then decide what's going to happen for this Sunday. Deion Dawkins is back out to practice today, so his back flare-up has been dealt with. We also do have some breaking news in college football we'll get to in just a little bit.
Yes.
But ultimately, I'm excited to see what we get from today. I saw Sam Panjanovic and Steve Palazzolo are out there as well for the 33rd team. There's just going to be a number of guys. I'm really curious to see how they look. Tyrell Shavers, the safeties I mentioned there with Sal. I also want to see Keon Coleman. I want to continue to see him and Dalton Kincaid string together really good practices. And if they do it in a joint practice, I think that's also, you know, it's a little thing, but it's also how you do get on the national stage. If Coleman has a great practice today, having guys like Monson and Palazzolo there like that, it starts to get the good vibes, I think, rolling, because that's really all preseason is. You want to stay healthy and you want to feel good about your team going into the season. It's really about it.
I think it's also, it'll get clips. Joint practices tend to get, it's not just about who's there. It's different when you're doing it to other
teams. Look at Amon-Ra St. Brown against the Dolphins.
Yes.
The Lions released, I think, like a 50-second video of just his routes against the Dolphins.
That's mean.
Stunning.
That's
also
mean.
I think Nate Geary tweeted this too. The throws by Goff were perfect.
They really were. It was actually kind of nasty.
It was gorgeous throw after gorgeous throw. St. Brown's everywhere. It was great. That practice, again, is going to be getting going at 11:30, so in just over 15 minutes. Real quick, though, do want to mention this breaking news in college football. If you don't remember, the sign-stealing scandal for Michigan football. We have the punishments that have been handed out. This is coming from ESPN's Pete Thamel and Dan Wetzel, and they're not a lot. They're not really, I think, the punishments maybe many were expecting, or at least the punishments you always kind of expect from the NCAA. Ultimately, it turns into a fine of $20 million, or of more than $20 million. Head coach Sharon Moore is going to be suspended an extra game. That is going to be taking place on the 2026 season. He will be serving a school self-imposed two-game suspension for weeks 3 and 4. And then kind of the stuff that really doesn't matter, Connor Stallions, who is sort of at the head of this whole thing,
right,
will receive a show cause of 8 years, and Jim Harbaugh is a 10-year show cause order. Don't really know what that means. I think they just can't show up. I think that's what that is. But I'm not really 100% sure on that.
Well, yeah.
Which Harbaugh, I think for both of them, probably don't care.
No, neither of them are really going to be worrying about that. That's why they're throwing 10 years at it.
So, yeah, ultimately Michigan doesn't really get punished. And to be fair, I think most of us college football fans would absolutely spend $20 million to have a national championship. I don't think any of us would care. The problem is when you get to, like, we vacated wins. That's what everyone, I think, is, like, waiting for, is the vacated wins of now, like, all of a sudden the national championship's null and void. That is not the case. So Michigan gets to keep their national championship. It's an undefeated season. They were a great team that year. It was not just the sign stealing, but they do pick up some punishments here. Ultimately, here's the thing, too, and I could be misremembering this, but this is always how it sat with me. Sign stealing is not against the rules. Every team does it. What Michigan did to get said signs was against the rules. Filming practices and or filming games and practices and such. I think that was the part where it was against the rules. The actual sign stealing, everyone does it. You just can't do it a specific way. So for me, I never really cared for this. I don't like Michigan. I don't really care for Michigan. But this story never really had legs for me to get upset about.
So a show cause penalty, just to let everyone know what it is. It is a disciplinary measure against the coaches or individuals that violate NCAA rules, requiring a school that wants to hire them to demonstrate why they shouldn't also be penalized for the violation.
Oh, cool. So this means nothing for Harbaugh.
It means nothing for Harbaugh. It would impact Stallions in a different sense.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, it's also transferable.
Yeah, so we can go to another. Okay.
School has to show the show. That's why it's show cause. They have to demonstrate why they shouldn't be penalized for it when wanting to hire them.
Real quick, I just want to make sure on Stallions, I believe he's coaching in high school. He is. He's an offensive coordinator at high school.
Now, for 8 years, a team is going to have to prove why they should not be penalized along with Stallions.
All right. Well, there you go. There's Michigan. We'll see how good they are this year. Bryce Underwood is, I think, expected to be their starting quarterback. Bit of a coup they had to get him from LSU. He was committed to them, I think, for about a year. A lot of money went into that one, and now Underwood is the, I think, the presumptive starter for the season for Michigan. 803-0550, the number two call. Back to the Bills here. We were talking a lot about the defense in the first hour and also discussing kind of now like the expectations that have been leveled on this team and to the certain extent what sort of needs to be done. Derek, you've mentioned it, like the three big players I mentioned on defense, Benford, Bernard, and Rousseau, they need to take the step forward. I mentioned, I think, maybe two of the three I'd be fine with, but I think you're spot on. It needs to be all three.
It needs to be all three because they've recognized it. The team recognizes them as players that are going to step up, and therefore they should. Otherwise, the contract extensions were not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're fine. I think the players will be good enough. They do need to take that step. Rousseau in particular, I think, is the one that will really be the most impactful if he is able to take a step up. And if he can benefit from a TJ Sanders, a Deion Walker showing up here in this new revamped defensive line room. Like you would posit the theory of, if Rousseau is going to be the primary benefactor, not Ed Oliver, then that makes that extension immediately worth it. If cornerback two can stabilize itself to where, okay, I guess we do have to throw at Benford sometimes because Trey White is making plays, or Harrison, once he got healthy, is comfortable in adjusting to the NFL just fine. We're going to have to throw that other side. We're going to have to test Benford more. Great. Awesome. Can't wait for that with total sarcasm. There's something to that. Like, it's not just the players that got these extensions. It is the surrounding cast that does need to help impact them. The defensive tackles making sure that they're opening lanes for Bernard to do what he does. Bernard, it's also about health because he was banged up a little bit last year. This is a player that is incredible at blitzing.
I mean, he had six and a half sacks in his first year as the starting middle linebacker. Yeah, 6.5 sacks in 2023. Yeah.
And then last year, he's down to one. Plays only 13 games, though. So you do want to see him be healthy as well for that sake. But Bernard got that extension because immediately once he started for this defense, he was making plays. Three picks in his first year, two picks last year. He does have a knack for getting to turnovers, creating plays, recovered three fumbles in his first year as a starter. Like, he was immediately getting in there and making impact plays, especially when you just moved off of a middle linebacker that, speaking of the Bears and joint practices, Tremaine Edmonds is still just a fine middle linebacker. He is athletic, but he just doesn't make the big plays.
Yeah, anytime I hear a Bears reporter, Bears fan, and anybody talk about Edmonds, it is always, he's fine.
And that is fine. That has been his career, is he's fine. And fine is good. You're going to have a good lengthy NFL career out of that. You got a nice contract from the Bears. It's not going to change much of his trajectory at this point because I'd imagine you kind of just, you are who you are at that point. And for Edmonds, he's already been in this league 6 years.
Yeah, and he never became that elite athlete out of Virginia Tech.
7 years, excuse me. He's in his eighth season.
Yeah, and he's never become, he's the elite athlete, he's going to be a problem for everybody, you just got to mold him. He's never become anything past a solid middle linebacker.
And the funny thing about him has always been, like, you know, oh, he's only 27, entering his eighth season in the league. Like,
right, for years with the Bills, he's only 22, 23.
Yes, but now you're 27, you probably are who you are.
Yep.
And, for example, he's a year older than Terrell Bernard.
Wow.
Bernard has been in the league for three seasons.
Yeah, Bernard came into the league at 23.
So.
Yeah.
But at this point, you probably are who you are. Good on Edmonds. His first year in Chicago, he gets four picks right away. Right off the rip. But do Bills fans necessarily miss Tremaine Edmonds? Probably not, considering he had a total of five interceptions in his 5 years in Buffalo. and he has 5 and 2 years in Chicago.
So that one, it's like the four is probably an outlier.
The four is the outlier. It absolutely is. It's easily his career season in career best in that season for doing that.
It's frustratingly what I say with Ed Oliver, with a 9.5 sacks is probably the outlier.
So speaking of sacks, Terrell Bernard has 7.5 already. In 7 years, Edmonds has 7.5. It's just someone has a knack for big plays and the other doesn't. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where you're at. I look at fumbles. And it's not even close. Tremaine Edmonds has recovered one fumble in his career. And he's forced four. You look at Terrell Bernard. He landed on three of them his first year as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't forced any, oddly enough. So you do want to be a little better about that.
At least in the regular season.
You do want to be a little bit better about that.
Yeah.
But
the reason why I say that is because, of course, he does have the big one against Mark Andrews in the playoffs last year.
That one's kind of a big deal.
But at least in the regular season, yes.
Yeah. You do want to – and again, that's nitpicking on Bernard at this point. But if you are getting that contract,
right,
I'd imagine some more splash plays are probably what they're anticipating too.
And that's the thing. The splash plays have to go up. I've mentioned I've kind of gone back and forth of who I think really should be the one that takes advantage of the new defensive line. Number one, I think if the defensive line plays better, the linebackers and the secondary probably should benefit from it. Again, and this is the thing, too. As much as they did get turnovers, it did not feel like the defense was always on the same page with each other. That's where you get the bad third down defense, a passing defense that I think was, I think maybe 21st in the league in terms of total EPA. They were not very good as a pass defense. And so there was very few times, it felt like last year, where the defense was on the same page together. But if the defensive line works out better and they get more from the defensive tackle position, and that allows Rousseau to eat more, not have so many double teams. And right, if Benford is getting helped out by corner two, like, this is what I talk about where I don't think they're actually that far away from being a very good defense, namely with McDermott and, I guess Babich, but I actually really don't know where we all sit with Babich as a defensive coordinator. But at least with McDermott's system, you feel like that they are right there on the cusp of it, that they just need one or two of these guys to become all pro players. You'd love for three of them too. Because you do look just a few years ago when they had Trey White as a two-time All-Pro, Matt Milano, All-Pro, Von Miller, future Hall of Famer. They were lights out. They were phenomenal. They looked like a unit that in January was going to hit its stride, no problem, here we go. And they have not been able to reach that, I think, level of talent in the last few years. Now with this core, you've mentioned they've given the contracts. They do believe these are ascending players. Now they just need to be. And we'll see if that ultimately happens. I think they've added enough around a lot of these guys to potentially get the most out of them. Really, the big position for me, and I mentioned it already today, that I just don't know about is safety. And in part, it's because we didn't really get to see Bishop play much. And to be fair, he hasn't been healthy enough in these two training camps that he's been a part of to even get an idea if he's an ascending player or not. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock. Bills getting ready to start their joint practice with the Chicago Bears. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on a beautiful Friday morning.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bills and Bears getting ready for their joint practice over at Halas Hall. Sal Capaccio tweeting out just a few minutes ago, and if you've seen any of the pictures as well, you'll see this. It is open to the public. And Sal did make mention that didn't know that was the case, was kind of told it probably wasn't going to be.
Sal, by the way, getting some really nice pictures within Halas Hall, the field house there, everything like that. There is a there's a Walter Payton logo in the field house at the 34-yard line.
Should be. There should be.
And love that. Also, for it should be, the way Sal describes it in the tweet, Bears Payton logo in the field house, also protected like a hockey locker room. Yes, it stands at the 34-yard line.
That's awesome.
So it's coned off, the picture. It just...
Yep.
Your feet on that, you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone. Also on the Bears...
Never to be seen again.
Fun note from the Bears, too, on this. I heard about this not that long ago. I think it was right before camp started. Bears head coach Ben Johnson was talking about Caleb Williams. And I think he was asked a question of like the expectations this year. And he just talked about camp and the expectations of this year. And he mentioned wanting to complete 70% of his passes in camp and in the season. Well, today we find out they have, in fact, been keeping track of that to see if Caleb Williams is completing 70% of his passes at camp. He has been under the target. I think that is wild, though, to keep track of stats at camp. I know I saw, I'm blanking on the reporter's name, but it was an Eagles reporter mentioning that like Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are 11-3 at joint practices. How are you even tracking that?
Wait.
How? What constitutes a win and a loss in a joint practice?
11,
I don't understand that.
11-3.
I think over their careers together.
For like?
Joint practices. I have no idea. What are you keeping track of?
My brain is currently melting right now. I'm not really understanding what's going on there.
Here, I'm
going
to find it.
You need to find that.
This has been bothering me. All right, here we go.
It's bothering you. And
Elliot
it's going
Shore
to...
Parks, and he's from 94 WIV.
Considering the source, never mind. I'm less confused.
Excuse me, they're not 11-3. They're 10-3 in joint practices after splitting with the Cleveland Browns. I don't understand. What are you keeping track of in joint practices?
Okay, that's Elliot Shore Parks. I've got all I need to know now. I'm good.
But also, for the completion percentage, are you also tracking, you know, when he's throwing into the nets, if he hits those? Are you tracking the one-on-ones when he's just thrown against air? Are we just tracking, you know, 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s? I want to know the details here because I think it's crazy to keep keep camp stats. I already don't love the preseason stats stuff, let alone camp stats. That seems insane to me. But also that kind of fits Ben Johnson's personality. Because everything I've heard out of Bears camp is that he's been a bit of a hard ass. And they are really digging in to change that culture, the vibe around the Bears. I don't know if it'll be successful.
Didn't Elliott Shore Parks one time, he also was like one of the hardest things to do in sports, and it was like something completely unhinged. Like it was like one of the easier things that you probably could do in sports.
Oh, maybe. I was going to say the hardest thing in sports is still to me hitting a baseball from a pro pitcher.
No, that he said 100% the thing. He said he could luck into a home run. That's what it was.
That's absolutely insane. The hardest thing to do in professional sports as an average Joe would be to hit a baseball from a professional pitcher. There's no shot.
That's where it was.
I could luck into a home run.
I could luck
you
into a home run.
You do realize bat speed plays into those going out of the park, right?
Right. It's an outward trajectory that is measured into it now.
You know what you maybe could luck into? Hitting a wide open three in an NBA game. If you run the offense correctly enough, you could get a wide open three.
You know what you could luck into? Ugh. Scoring a goal in the NHL. It has to just hit you last.
Right, right. Like you could just, your butt could hit it in. And they're like, it counts. You scored it.
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the pylon stuck in the zone when there's an empty net and it hits your butt and goes into the net. Guess who gets the goal?
Yeah. So that one, that one you can absolutely look. I mean, we talk about hockey all the time. There's a level of luck to it. So, of course, hitting a home run, not a shot. Getting the ball out of the infield, maybe.
I could luck into
probably
a home
not.
Run.
Oh, that's insanity.
Yeah, that one. I could luck into a hit, maybe.
I don't know. I think it is still the hardest thing to do in professional sports.
No, ready? Like, you get an interesting, like it's not a great swing, but the ball travels in a way that, like, the infield has to come in for it, and you just run your way down there. That's how you luck into a hit.
I don't know. No, I don't feel good about this. They're just going to throw
home run.
They're going to throw 100-mile-an-hour heaters past you. They're not going to play anything fancy.
Oh, I know.
You're an average Joe, 100-mile-an-hour down the middle. Like, I dare you to hit it.
And that's
no
the
shot.
Thing. I'm saying it's about getting a hit, not a home run.
I think for a hit too. There's no shot. There's no shot. You will see one of those pitches and go, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done.
Oh yeah, no, I'll be like, nope. Well, me, I'll just swing. I'm just swinging. I don't care. I'm going to miss, but I'm going to swing.
I'm telling you right now, the average person.
I'm not getting a home run, though.
Sees 100,
I'll tell you that.
Go right past them. They're like, I'm done here. I've done my civic duty. I'm out.
I probably couldn't get into a rec league softball game and hit a home run.
No.
I'm just swinging recklessly.
I think people don't realize like just how much like bat speed plays into why those balls leave the park the way they do.
Yeah, exit velocity is a measurement that they use for home runs getting out of the park, and it has to be at least high 90s for you to have a chance.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have two preseason games today, Titans-Falcons and then Chiefs-Seahawks. We have a lot tomorrow. 5 1 p.m. games on Saturday. Thank you. That is how preseason should be done. A ton of games at noon and 1, and we call it a day. We call it a day.
Oh, boy. You win your war against the preseason continues, and I love it.
The Bills play on Sunday. There are two games on Sunday. Jaguar Saints get us kicked off at 1 o'clock. The Bills will not play till 8.
You're not bitter at all.
I forgot about that until Sal mentioned it, and in my head, I rolled my eyes as hard as I could, 'cause I'm like, come on. I forgot we were doing this.
You're not even going to be there for the longest time.
No, it's
you're also talking to the person that is going to be there for the longest time.
It is more the fact of preseason games, afternoons. Afternoons. I get it. It's not a new thing. I think it should be done with, though. They all should be at like noon or 1 o'clock. You pick two that you'll put on national television, and we move along.
Well, even if that was the case, the Bills might be one of those two.
Like today, who on the East Coast is going to tune into Chiefs Seahawks at 10 p.m.? Not a soul. Even the Chiefs fans that are somewhere like sprinkled around the East Coast will be like, that's too late for me, dog. I know tomorrow's Saturday. I got things to do. I'm not doing it. The night preseason games make no sense to me.
I should watch this just to spite you.
That'll ruin your night. That'll ruin your night. That'll ruin everything. It'll set your weekend up so poorly.
What are you talking about? I'll have something to talk about for Sports Talk Saturday.
I stayed up till 2 in the morning watching yesterday's Chiefs-Seahawks game. It was a game. Things happened. The starters left immediately. There's no need for it. There's no need for it.
I feel like I should just do that to say those exact words.
The only need
just so I could terrify Joe Callie, too. What are you doing with your life?
He'd be thrown for a loop. That's the thing. Don't tell him. He'll be thrown for a loop. the only thing I can get to is, do the broadcast groups need to get their practice in of like running the Sunday night football or Monday night football, Thursday night football? They need that?
That might be.
That's it.
It's preseason for them too, Zachary. It's
preseason for everybody.
It's preseason for us too.
But man, there's nothing more just exhausting on a weekend that you're like, oh yeah, preseason game at 7 or 8. Like, what are we doing? Oh,
what are we doing? We're playing football. That's what we're doing. We're playing football.
We are close to elite season beginning. I'll take Jeremy's adage there. Today starts the Premier League. Next week, college football gets going. I am very, very excited. For both, actually. Like, my Premier League team isn't particularly good, but I do just – when I got into it, I really just enjoyed getting up on a Saturday morning, you know, at 10, and there being live sports on. And there being cool highlights. Soccer's not for everybody. I'm not saying it should be. I'm not going to try to
– I mean, I'm the filthy casual.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to convince anyone to watch soccer, but – At 10 in the morning, just turning on your TV when, like, nothing else is going on, you're in your sweatpants, cup of coffee, like, oh, live action's going on. And then baseball starts a little bit later. Or really, for me, perfection is those September days where I'll watch soccer, get to the last little bit of college game day, and the college games take me.
But now that I'm thinking about it, though, like, that's perfection. On a Saturday, though, at 10 in the morning, I'm getting here.
Yeah, you're getting here.
So I have work to do.
You have work to do. For me, it's been a little bit easier on that. I mean, when I was working Sports Talk Saturday, I would watch qualifying for Formula One for those races, and it would wrap up just as me and Josh were going on air, which was always – that was always an event, because at the time I was a Lando Norris fan, and he was not good at all. It is exciting, though, that sports are starting to get going. Like, I'll give a lot of grief to the preseason and stuff like that, but even the first game for the Bills, it felt like, okay – everything's starting to get rolling now. Baseball's kind of hitting its prime time now, where everybody's gearing up for the postseason, and even like, you know, the trade deadline's passed, and now if you're rooting for the Jays, or if you kind of like picked up on them here locally, you know, you're having guys like George Springer, you know, having a rehab assignment last night for the Bisons. Today's going to be Shane Bieber. And they're getting ready for the playoffs. Like, that's super exciting. You know, I mentioned college football, and I've mentioned week one, especially, is going to have 3 top 10 matchups, all of which will be at someone's home stadium. And they're not neutral site games. There are neutral site games, but it's not those. Then the NFL is going to get going here pretty soon. And then before you know it, the NHL's here. Right. And we're getting that going. I don't like winter. I don't like the snow. But, like, late summer, early fall with the sports all getting going, I can understand where Jeremy brings up, like, it being the elite season, because everything gets going, and it feels like every night you've got something going on, and that is awesome.
It's not always about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part of the elite season.
Yep. And that, to me, is the real fun part.
You understand it now.
I understand it now. Again, I don't like the winter. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the snow. But when it does feel – because, I have gotten to this point now – where we didn't have a preseason football game last night, as much as I complain about it, I'd have thrown it on for at least a little while. Instead, last night I'm trying to find like a movie to watch or a TV show to watch. I'm listening to podcasts, whatever, what have you, where in a few weeks, and if something on every day, close to it at least, and the days you don't, you're discussing what happened the night before, the thing that's coming up tomorrow night.
Right.
And I have missed that. And I'm starting to get more to it now that the Bills are really good, and Texas is good for me as well. Like, there is no more of this dreading the season somewhat starting. I mean, to be fair, if you grew up in the drought, you probably understand what I'm talking about, where you'd be excited because it's football, but by week two, you're like, oh, hell, we're still here. You know, for Texas, for me, for a long time was, I can't wait for someone to make the joke that Texas is back because they beat an also overrated team in week one or two and then fall apart and collapse. And like, there was a sense of, like, it's not fun because that's happening just as the snow's happening. Now, yeah, I'm always looking forward to Bills season. I'm always looking forward to Texas. I like the Premier League as a neutral. I also have a fan. I desperately want to get more into the NHL as a whole, not just the Sabres. But
because the Sabres aren't really going to help you get into the NHL as a whole at this point.
And that's a big part of my problem is I'm like, I want to throw in the Minnesota Wild versus the Nashville Predators, but I just watched the Sabres lose their 10th game in a row. I'm not really feeling very good. I hope they can turn it around, right?
Because it
is a really good time of year when all of that is getting going. We mentioned that the hype around preseason and camp is because it's a hopeful season. You know, fans are – it's the one time outside of the draft. I think NFL fans are all excited. For the NHL, it's right before the season starts because you never know. NHL, we mentioned it, goal scoring can be kind of fluky, a little bit of luck-based. You never know what's going to happen. Bad teams get in the playoffs all the time, so you never know. And I do love that. beginning parts of seasons.
And that is, and as Sabres fans can attest, for example, though, the beginning of seasons is kind of important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very important. 803-0550, the number two call. Speaking of hockey, Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll be back after a quick timeout. This is WGR. Quick final segment here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Nordtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Nordtown. Shop online at nordtownauto.com. Bills are full go for their joint practice with the Chicago Bears out in Chicago, or, well, Halas Hall, just a little outside of Chicago. A little bit, though, of a pre-game for Sunday. We'll wrap up here just kind of talking about some of the players we want to see. I have good games, kind of string things together. And Derek, at least for me, it is going to be the defensive tackles, the two rookies, Deion Walker and TJ Sanders. I really liked what I saw from both of them against the Giants. I'd love for them to continue it. Namely, hearing McDermott talk about it too. They love the ability. They just want to see them to, you know, show consistency, continue to get better. And that for me would be really, like, that's where I would start to get really excited about what both of them can do, because I want to hold off my expectations on both. They're both rookies. Walker's a fourth round pick as well. Like, I really shouldn't be, you know, banging their drums too much. But if they start to continue to show out in preseason and in practice, that's where you can start to get excited of, man, did they really get a steal in the fourth round of Walker? What, like, was he really that late first, second round pick kind of value that just because of a back injury, he falls all the way to the fourth round? Sanders, you know, did they really nail it by trading up to go get him? And you can see some returns in those rookie years. I mentioned all the time the Rams defense, what they're able to do with Fisk and Verse, and really kind of change the trajectory of their defense. They were not perfect. They had to get better. The secondary wasn't particularly great. But by the end of the year,
Trey White was not a fit for them.
No, Trey White was not a fit for them. But by the end of the year, Jared Verse was causing the Eagles as much problems as anyone I've seen all year. He was incredible in that NFC divisional game. Incredible.
Just like last week, I'm pretty much going to go into the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't sack a guy who got sacked 68 times last year, I'm going to have some words to say.
Especially two. And it is just preseason, but that would be two straight games. At least last week, too, was 51 passing attempts. What are we doing here? And if it's two straight weeks, yeah, it's the same thing of, like, if it's still splash plays, great, but man, what the heck? What are we doing here?
Yeah, you'd like to see something a little bit more substantial, especially because you're playing against the Bears starters. I would like to see what happens here. Deployment also is going to be a thing here, because say the starters aren't playing much. All right, well, then we're not going to see them.
Yeah.
I'd still like to see somebody get to the quarterback. Caleb Williams was sacked 68 times.
Yeah, he's not going to fix that in year one.
You're not,
or in 1 year.
You're not
me.
Fixing it that drastically in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Even with a new coordinator, rebuild offensive line, you're still not getting that fixed that quickly with that high of a number.
Yeah. Also on the defense, don't necessarily know. At least sitting right here on a Friday morning, I don't necessarily know if I want to see Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp go, especially because they're limited today. If they do, though, I want to see some good things. I don't want them to just be out there. I'd like to, again, get a vibe and a feeling of where I'm at it with Bishop as a player. And then on the offensive side of things, I really want Tyrell Shavers to continue what he's doing. Really kind of force the Bills into a tough decision of keeping six wide receivers, because the idea of him hitting practice squad already kind of feels like, guys, he's getting poached. I think he's a roster player now, don't get me wrong, but I want us to get to a point where you've got to get him involved in the offense, not just give him a jersey.
You think if I say a Hodgins in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great pull. Isaiah Hodgins from a few years ago, where he ultimately goes to the Giants. It's not a,
because it was a couple of years of strong camps, but like he would never be able to make a season debut because he'd be injured at the wrong time, or he's too far in the depth chart, or the Bills had a more stacked wide receiver room, and they do ultimately let him go, and the Giants sign him and have not looked back. Like, he's a solid roster player for them.
And he had a run too when he actually joined the team in 22, where he had like four touchdowns, 300 yards, and it was in a little spurt there, but it was exciting to see, and also frustrating for Bills fans. Like, he was on our team. We could kind of use that right now.
We couldn't tap into that?
Like, yeah.
That was more or less the question there. But no, I think that Shavers is kind of getting into a similar arc there. But the Bills do have some options on what to do outside of that to keep. I think they'll keep six because of the fact that there are two suspensions for roster players. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you're probably using one of them on a D-tackle, but it makes it a lot more comfortable to hold on to six. I'm not looking at that as a question at this point. They're probably going to go in with six.
Yeah.
Especially with Shakir's banged up. Like, it sounds like he'll be back for week one, but...
But to what level, right?
Insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You don't want to go into a game with just four wide receivers healthy.
No, and you'll hope and pray nothing happens.
You'll want one there. And especially because one of those other wide receivers ahead of Shavers on the depth chart, another one is constantly injured too. You want an insurance policy. I predict they're keeping six.
Mm-hmm.
For the start of the regular season, we'll see from there. And who it is. If Shavers can pretty much start escorting Curtis Samuel out the door.
Yeah.
That is going to be the interesting question. And if Laviska Shenault and KJ Hamler also have words to say about it.
That'll do it for us today. Have a wonderful weekend. Sal Capaccio will have you covered with everything from Bills practice day in at Hallis Hall at Sal Sports. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.